There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to another Pitt Panther Rants and Other Sports Rants podcast. Lad Harris, your host. Today is Thursday. We got NFL games. We got NFL game on tonight, I should say. The Chiefs will play the Lions. Kind of an awkward, well, not awkward or weird, but it's just a weird choice. But I understand it because you have the defending Super Bowl champs. And they're facing a Lions team that's supposedly up and coming. I guess. I mean, we've been hearing that Lions have been up and coming for the last, I don't know, 30 years maybe. Probably since Barry Sanders was drafted, we've been hearing about this. Barry was drafted in, let's see, when his first year was 1989 with the Lions. So, God, that was 30 years ago. 34 years ago, actually. And it's, you know, they've been trying to be up and coming ever since. But Travis Kelce's out, but the Chiefs still have Pat Mahomes. So, I mean, I think the Chiefs are a -4.5 favorite, which is pretty accurate. I mean, it depends. You know, Jared Goff is the quarterback for the Lions. So, it all depends on which Jared Goff you're getting. I'm not sure. Anyway, you know. But yeah, they, let's see, the Lions had that little resurgence in the 90s. I mean, you had Barry Sanders, you had Herman Moore. But they had Scott Mitchell as their quarterback, which was probably the more baffling part. I mean, they went to the playoffs with Scott Mitchell, but they didn't win enough with him. Yeah, that was an odd one. I think maybe if the Lions have actually picked up a quarterback, maybe things would have been better. I mean, they did draft Ronnie Pete, and Ronnie didn't really work out too well. In fact, let's look at his stats real quick. How did he turn out, Ronnie Pete? Yeah, because the Lions had that, they adapted that West Coast offense, I remember, and it was all these short passes, which explains why, you know, Scott Mitchell did so well. Yeah, he played until 93, but he was 6-4, but looks like he was always hurt. Yeah, he was always hurt. Yeah, he never exactly played a full season because he was always hurt. How does Scott Mitchell do? Got a lot of Pro Football Reference. Yeah, he played in Detroit from 94 until 98. And if I remember correctly, he got replaced by Charlie Batch because he was struggling. But yeah, he had a 1 year where he threw for 4,000 yards, and they had 32 TDs, 12 picks, and he was 10-6 as a starter. I mean, how do you go just 10-6 as a starter and you put up stats like that? I mean, he had 32 touchdown passes, 12 picks. Well, his completion percentage was, it was 60%. It was still good. I'm sure he threw a lot of short, if I remember correctly, he threw a lot of short passes, but he was never really any better than that. That's the most they got out of him. Yeah, they had Batch. Batch really didn't work out too well. Then they drafted a whole bunch of other guys, like Joey Harrington they drafted. They tried Mike McMahon. They tried so many things about this. It just didn't work. I mean, then they had a little resurgence with Matt Stafford and, you know, Calvin Johnson. Megatron eventually decided to retire, and that was that. You know, God took a beating. Now let's get to the actual what we need to talk about. Pitt plays Cincinnati this week. I know we're all excited about that. Another Pitt Cincinnati showdown. Or should we call it Pitt? We can call it Pittsinati. Pittsinati, yeah, there you go. Because I did hear that some person was trying to make Bolivar Real as Bota, which I have no idea, BOTA, which I have no idea why they would do that. But I'm sure if he would, I'm sure he would call the Pitt Cincinnati game the Pittsinati game, is what he would probably call it. But as we look at the game itself, both teams open their schedule with a cupcake win. Both quarterbacks were on point. Well, Emory Jones is a transfer from Arizona State. He had a monster game. I mean, he was 19-23 for 345 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, they obviously, you know, since they obviously was Cincinnati, and they're coached by Scott Satterfield, which who also was Louisville coach. So I'm sure Pitt's no stranger to Scott Satterfield. Yeah, we look here. Emory just lit it up. Spread the ball around. I mean, there's really. And plus, what about the rushing, honey? Emory had 9 carries, 26 yards. So obviously, he's kind of a dual threat. And Cincinnati is a very up-tempo team. Nothing. I mean, let's be honest. This type of offense and stuff like this is nothing new to Pitt. And their defense. There's not much to talk about with Cincinnati as far as their defense goes. I mean, there's really not much to go on because, well, look at the team stats here. Eastern Kentucky had 302 total yards, 177 passing, 122 rushing. But you wonder how much of that was in the second half of that game. But long story short, Pitt's going to have to contain Emory Jones, limit him as much as they can. And it's hard to say what weaknesses we have in the defense because we don't really know. I mean, it was Wofford. And they were coached by Sean Watson, so double whammy there. We know what we have at the offensive part of this being a thing. So the key thing is, can Pitt, you know, protect Phil Jurkovec? And can they make plays? Because I'm sure Cincinnati is going to tee off on Pitt. So the way I see it is, Cincinnati had three sacks in the game. So the key thing will be to protect Jurkovec, get the running game going, which I'm sure that's what we'll do. But I'd like to see more of the passing game as well. Pitt definitely needs to get pressure on Cincinnati's quarterback, Emory Jones. And let's hope the receivers don't have an off... I mean, not the receivers, the secondary doesn't have an off day. Because that happens sometimes. Where they lose a lot of 50-50 balls. But other than that, Pitt's a minus 7.5 point favorite. I think Cincinnati covers the 7.5. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Pitt wins by 3. It's an evening game. It's on the CW. So we have that going for us. Oh well. You know, I just realized that. I was looking at the Houston University of Houston's football schedule. It's all Big 12 teams this year, and I forgot that they are in the Big 12 this year. And as we look at the rest of the top 25, anything in particular? Well. Notre Dame is NC State. That's an ACC game. We can get to that in a minute. Utah plays Baylor. Utah is a minus 8. I would go with Utah on this one. I think Utah covers the minus 8. Baylor just isn't good. Nebraska and Colorado. Colorado is a -3 against Matt Rhule, Nebraska. Oof, after last week and what we saw with Nebraska, I would probably have to give us to Colorado. I think they cover the 3 and they probably blow out Matt Rhule, Nebraska. Matt Rhule has his work cut out for him. Michigan, UNLV. Michigan in the second ranked. They're playing UNLV, which they kicked off the Brennan Marion era. Brennan's now the offensive coordinator at UNLV. Vincent Davis had 3 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown for UNLV last week. I go with Michigan this one. Yep. We got Ole Miss and Tulane. Tulane's 24th ranking against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a -7.5. Probably going with Ole Miss. We'll get to the rest of the ACC here in a minute because I see a lot of ranked games, including the ACC. Let me see. Oklahoma and SMU. Oklahoma's a -15.5. Dylan Gabriel is still there. Wasn't he? Wait a second. If I'm mistaken, he played at UCF, of course, but did he play Pitt? Yes, he did. He was the QB in that Pitt special game. So we have that going for us. Probably going to go to Oklahoma in that one. 11th ranked Texas against 3rd ranked Alabama. I heard there were some sort of, issues with this. Whereas I guess Bama needed some sort of allotment that had to be seated somewhere. Texas had to accommodate them. Well, this is at Alabama, I think. I don't know. I didn't really read the article. That's just what I, pretend. Maybe may or not pretending to read. I don't know. Alabama's -7 against Texas with Quinn Ewers. Texas wasn't all that great last week. It's Bama -7. I'm going with Texas in this one. I think they with the 7. And I think they win the game as well. And that's really that. That's about it. Stanford plays USC. That's an evening game, 9:30 p.m. At least my time, I think. There's talk of Caleb Williams possibly staying in school if he doesn't like his the team that's going to draft him, which is probably going to be Arizona. I know we as Pitt fans can't stand, USC after last year. We probably don't think much of Caleb Williams either. But, from a business perspective, I can understand Caleb Williams. I mean, if he still has college eligibility left, he can use it and continue to get paid in millions of dollars in NIL money. And he doesn't have to go to the NFL because he's getting paid already. And if he doesn't want to go to, say, Arizona, he can possibly declare the next season and maybe land himself in a better position, better situation. Or Arizona could just take a second year in a row. A lot can happen. But all I can say is be careful what you wish for. I mean, Eli Manning didn't want to play for the Chargers. He ends up with the Giants, but the Chargers had LaDainian Tomlinson. That they picked up Antonio Gates as well. They drafted him before Eli came, and Chargers end up having a really good team. But I mean, Eli went with the Giants, but he did win 2 Super Bowls to his credit. Now, as we look at the rest of the ACC, Vanderbilt and Wake Forest. Wake is a -10. I don't know about this one. Yeah, we'll give it to Wake. I think Wake wins by. I think Vanderbilt covers the 10, though. Unless they're really bad. Notre Dame, NC State. Notre Dame's a -7.5 against NC State. I like Notre Dame in this one because we didn't really see much from. Well, Sam Hartman's a quarterback for starters. Brandon Armstrong, he was kind of a little iffy, you know, despite being reunited with his offensive coordinator. Yeah, I go with Notre Dame in this one. I mean, I know it's at home, but ND pulls it off. Purdue and Virginia Tech. Purdue 0-1 against VT. Who did Purdue play last week? They played Fresno State and lost. Who did the Hokies play? Oh, the Hokies didn't play. You know, they played Old Dominion. Old Dominion's a pain in the ass to play against. And they won 36-17. I'll give it to the Hokies. They're -3. They win that. Boston College and Holy Cross. BC should win that one. If they don't, then I would be concerned. James Madison plays Boston College. BC was horrific last week. They're playing Holy Cross. They should win this one. If they don't, I'll be very concerned. Now, here is a definite fall from grace. James Madison plays Virginia. And JMU is a -6.5 point favorite against Virginia. I'm not sure what's going on at UVA. Well, ever since Bronco left, it's really been downhill. I mean, we're talking about a team who the year Pitt won the ACC title. They were neck and neck with Pitt for the title, you know, for the Coastal Championship. I mean, they did what? I mean, before, I mean, 2019, right before the pandemic, they won the Coastal. And it seemed like it was going to be a Pitt UVA taking turns winning the Coastal at one point, which fortunately didn't happen. Now they're a 6.5 point underdog against James Madison of all people. I like UVA in this one. I think they covered a 6.5. If they don't win, I think they at least cover. South Carolina State and Georgia Tech. Ooh, that's a mess there as well. Gotta go Georgia Tech in that one. Clemson, Charleston Southern. Clemson should win that one. Texas A&M and Miami. Supposedly Miami's been trying to give away tickets to this game in some way. I mean, I think if you spend money on an A&M and Miami ticket, they give you like a free Georgia Tech and Miami ticket. But I wouldn't be spending a lot of money to go watch these two teams play. A&M basically is hyped up every year. You know, you can blame a lot of their hype on Johnny Manziel. You know, ever since you know Johnny Football was there, A&M gets hyped up every year. And Miami is Miami. I mean, Miami and Virginia Tech are two teams that really only stay relevant due to their pop culture. You know, Virginia Tech keeps its relevancy because of Michael Vick. Because that's what we think about it, is that Michael, you know, we think about Michael Vick, that's about it, and that he played there. That's pretty much, you know, of course there's, the Enter Sandman, you know, thing. But that's really about it. I mean, most, you know, anytime you think about Virginia Tech, it's always going to be, they're always going to show Mike Vick's highlights against Florida State in a national championship loss. That's the one of the more baffling things. They always show his highlights against Florida State when they lost that game. You know, I'm sure Florida State isn't really, you know, isn't too bothered by it. Anyways. Let's see. I'm going to go probably with A&M in this one. Yeah, I'm not so sure about Miami. But I'm going to go with A&M. Appalachian State and North Carolina. Again, Appalachian State, one of the many pain-in-the-ass teams to play against. They're basically what South Florida was back in the early 2000s. And we know that all too well. But yeah, these are you know, this falls into the list of G5 teams you try to avoid scheduling. Them and Old Dominion are two teams you try not to schedule. You could probably add Liberty to that as well. North Carolina has a minus 18. I think Appalachian State covers the 18. North Carolina wins, but they cover. Duke and Lafayette. Duke should win that one, no problem. Southern Miss and Florida State. No line on this game yet. At least I don't see one. Florida State probably wins that one easily. But as far as the Pitt-Cincinnati goes, I mean, there's not much to talk about. I mean, they're going to miss a dual-threat quarterback. They got to contain Emory Jones, and they got to of course, they got cover and tackle. They can't come out. They can't play slow. Bottom line is they got to play a very sound game and not come out sloppy, because we all know about the whole how it is. And the big thing is they're not bringing out the River City Rivalry Trophy, which is kind of odd, but I'm not sure where that trophy's at, to say the least. But as we remember that series when we were Big East foes, I think we won it, I think the first 2 years, no, 3 years we won it. And then Brian Kelly came in and, made our lives miserable. He beat us in 08 and 09. 08, we were down 28-7 at one point, and it just sucked to lose that game because we lost to Cincinnati. After what happened with the 13-9 win, and we had Bill Stallin, we thought we were on a nice little ride there, and it looked like we were going to win the Big East, and we faced a team that we'd beaten three times in a row, and of course we lose to them that time around. But that was basically Pitt fashion. Then, of course, 2009, we all know that story. The big indicator there was, if there was ever a big warning sign, it was probably the backyard brawl where we lost, on a last-minute field goal. We were a very hot team. I think we were also top 10 at that point, at that time. We lost by 3, and people said no big deal. We just beat Cincinnati, and we go to the all we gotta do is beat Cincinnati, and we go to the championship game. I mean, not the championship game. We win the Big East, and we go to the BCS bowl game. But we lose to West Virginia, and I just remember, I think that was the year I had my first kid. My oldest. And what I remember from that is, at the time we were out running errands that day, and I remember looking at my phone, and I saw the score was 31-10 at one point, and I got home in time where they missed the field goal before halftime. And you just wonder to yourself. Bill still had a rushing touchdown, and it was that game where you thought that first half where everything was working according to plan, but you also, and of course they kicked the Marty Gilliard, and it just, once they started to crawl back, then you started to get concerned because we're like, oh no, here we go again, the same thing as always. Pitt's about to, pucker this lead, and they did. I remember that, they scored a touchdown late. I think Cincinnati probably let them score. And then they muff the extra point. And that was one of the most heart-wrenching moments. The touchdown to win the game was heart-wrenching, but the muffed extra point was the most heart-wrenching because when it happened, you already knew what was going to happen. And as Pitt fans, we saw one too many times. And of course, Cincinnati, I think like in five or six plays, they already had a touchdown. I mean, they wasted no time and they scored. And that was just that. And that loss stung for some time. Because we loved Wani and we wanted Wani to succeed because people said that he was always a born loser as a head coach and all that. And we thought this would be finally his time. And of course it fell miserably and he was fired after the next year. And it just didn't happen. But, we end up winning the ACC title years later. And, not years later. That was happened in 2009. So we won it 12 years later. And for me, that loss to Cincinnati just it sucks, but it doesn't really have that. It doesn't sting as much because Pitt finally eventually got over the hump. Oh, well. Anyways, guys, the Steelers play this weekend. I don't have much to say about it, but I'm really hoping for big things for Kenny this year. I think he's going to take the next step up. Let's hope. Hail to Pitt.